Well, it's very good to be here with you tonight. I'm used to preaching without a microphone, so Dave may need to turn me down at some point, but we'll see how we go. We live in an age of prosperity, an age of comfort, ease, entertainment, compared to a great many people living today on earth, or compared to our forebears who worked hard on the land or fish in the oceans, many of whom died young, without the ease and comfort of our everyday existence. Our lives, well, we live as kings by comparison. Most of us are able to go home tonight, go to the fridge, select any one of a number of different things to eat or drink, simply open a packet or a bottle or a can, and then we can relax in a comfy chair with a cushion, switch on the magic picture box, choose any one of a myriad of channels, and be entertained for as long as we're able to stay awake. And then we can saunter upstairs in our centrally heated house to a comfy mattress, quilt, and pillow. Most of us don't even need to walk home. We can drive or be driven by someone else, looking at the condition of the car park. You wouldn't want to walk home tonight, I'm sure. But our lives would be entirely unrecognizable to our ancestors, or to many folk living now around the globe. And whilst it's right for us to be thankful to God for all the blessings we enjoy, we must too be aware that there is a danger. A danger that we become distracted. A danger that we miss the very point of our existence. That we forget what we are here for. That we just enjoy the ride as much as we can. Not clear really on where we're headed at all. Simply cruising along through life and enjoying all of its luxuries. Today's talk, today's sermon, is a challenge, particularly to our perspective on prayer. And it's a challenge to see prayer from a heavenly point of view. And it's probably a good time to say a prayer now. Let's bow our heads. Almighty, everlasting God, our gracious Heavenly Father, help us now, we pray, as we read the Scriptures together, as we consider what your Word says. Would you help us, O Lord, to hear your voice speak to our hearts? Bring the powerful conviction, the convincing of your truth to bear in our lives. Where we are ignorant, Lord, teach us. Where we are unfit, train us. Where we are wrong, correct us. Where we are rebellious, rebuke us. Search us, O Lord, and know our hearts. Bless us and know our inmost being. And see if there be any wicked way in us, and lead us in the way everlasting. Amen. Well, we've had Psalm 116 read to us. I'm going to read part of it again. So you may want to put your finger in Psalm 116 if you have a Bible there. And then a slightly longer reading from the book of Revelation and chapter 5. So I'm just going to read Psalm 116, verses 1 and 2, and then Revelation chapter 5, 3 to 10. I normally preach from the NIV, but today I've brought my old Bible. I've had this Bible for over 30 years, and it's an old New American Standard. So it was the New American Standard, but there's now a newer one, and this is the old New American Standard. And the reason I've picked this is just because of the tenses of the verbs in this instance are translated perhaps a little more accurately. So Psalm 116, verses 1 and 2. I love the Lord because he hears my voice and supplications. Because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I shall call on him as long as I live. I love the Lord because he hears my voice. Then from Revelation 5, verses 3 to 10. And no one in heaven or the earth or under the earth was able to open the book or look into it. And I began to weep greatly, because no one was found worthy to open the book or look into it. One of the elders said to me, stop weeping, behold the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome, so as to open the book and its seven seals. And I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders a lamb standing as if having been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he came, and he took it out of the hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having each one a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy art thou to take the book and to break its seals, for thou wast slain and did purchase for God with thy blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And thou hast made them a kingdom of priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. Verse 8 again from that reading. The four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having each one a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. A fantastical heavenly scene. Extremely hard to try and picture, impossible to picture. Yet it portrays the prayers of the saints, the prayers of Christian believers. When you read the word saints in the Bible, it doesn't just mean the apostles. Every Christian believer, the prayers of the saints are pictured as incense in golden bowls held aloft by angelic creatures before the throne of God Almighty. That incense in the bowl is the prayers of the saints. The first point tonight is that the Lord loves to hear us pray. Psalm 116:1. I love the Lord because he hears my voice. He has inclined his ear to me. The Lord loves to hear our prayers. They are a sweet smelling incense to him. Now, incense was made in the tabernacle and the temple. It was to create a pleasing aroma for the Lord. It signified his holiness, his purity, his perfection. It was kind of a church air freshener in an age when people didn't take three showers a day and use Lynx body spray. It made the place of worship smell pleasant, fit for the King of the universe. Now, if you had a curry last night I had some curried mackerel. And if you use the toilet the next morning, and you live in a house shared with other people, they put that spray in there for a reason. It makes it so much more pleasant for whoever comes in there after you. It is always better to leave a pleasant aroma behind you than a stench, isn't it? If you're someone that is aware that you suffer from body odour, and the church congregation you belong to is one where people regularly greet each other with a big hug, then deodorant is surely the thing for you. Bad smells are not a pleasant experience. Seriously though, the sins of the world are described in Scripture as a stench that rises up in the nostrils of God Almighty, causing His wrath to be turned upon sinful man. The holy place was to have a pleasant aroma, pleasing to the Lord, hence the incense that was meticulously prepared. So for the prayers of the saints in Revelation 5, our prayers to be described as incense, teaches us that our prayers to God are a pleasing aroma to God in a world that largely stinks with every kind of depravity and rebellion. And for us who are Christians, for us to live like the world does and to barely ever pray would be like wanting to use the Lord's facilities after a mammoth vindaloo and not using the spray, or wanting a hug when you smell like raw sewage. Do you want to smell good in heaven? Do you want to be a pleasing aroma in the Father's nostrils? Then pray. Jesus told us that we are heard in heaven when we pray in His name. John 16:26. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say that I will request the Father on your behalf. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and believe that I came from the Father. The Lord hears our prayers. The Lord loves our prayers. And the Lord values our prayers. Second point tonight. Prayers are stored up for the appointed time to be poured out. Prayers are stored up for the appointed time to be poured out. The prayers of the saints are the incense stored up in the golden bowls in Revelation 5. And they are held by the host of heaven, the four living creatures and the 24 elders. Now on occasion, we pray for something, and by God's mercy, we are granted an answer straight away, or incredibly quickly. Have you ever experienced that when you've lost your keys or your phone or something essential and you're in a hurry for something important you need to be at, and you turn the house upside down searching, scouring, can't find it, and in desperation you pray. Open your eyes and there, right in front of you, is what you've been looking for. Or you're deeply concerned for someone that you can't get hold of them. They should have been in touch hours ago. You worry for ages, then desperately turn to prayer. And as you say, Amen, the phone rings. And it's them. It's wonderfully encouraging when we get those sudden, instant, quick answers to prayer. But other prayers are stored up and await the appointed time. Some prayers are answered instantly, others are stored up for the appointed time. In other words, no prayer is ever wasted. If you pray, if you cry out to the Lord from your heart, no prayer is ever wasted. Every single time you pray, a drop of incense lands in the golden bowl. A wee trickle shoots down into that vessel of pleasing aroma in heaven. Every time you resist the temptation to give up praying for that same thing or that same person, you call upon the Lord again and a little more incense trickles into the bowl for the appointed time. If you have ever gotten down on your knees and prayed to your Heavenly Father, it was not wasted in heaven. Are you still waiting for your answer? Maybe that bowl is just one or two drops away from being filled. Our prayers are stored up in heaven. So what, you may say, in terms of application for us? How should these truths affect our attitude, our behaviour? Well, we should, first of all, be a praying people. If the Lord listens to our prayers, then He cares for us. And we should pray. We should pray with others. We should pray for others. We should pray together. We should pray when we're on our own. John Calvin said, prayer is the only evidence we have that we have faith. And he meant prayer alone. If I only worship and pray in the gathering, I have no real way of knowing whether I'm communing with the Lord or just joining in the excitement and the emotion of the crowd. But if I pour out my heart to God when I'm on my own, I must believe. Why else would I do that? Think about it. Be encouraged in your faith. Do you pray alone? Be encouraged that you are a man or woman of faith. But in order to pray on my own, I must prioritize some time in my day to spend with Jesus. He said himself in Matthew chapter 6, when you pray, go into your inner room. When you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. So we should be a praying people. Secondly, remember that God is faithful in hearing your prayers and remembering them. So every prayer that seems as yet unanswered is stored up in a golden bowl in heaven. It's an accumulation of incense, building up every time we pray again, all the time increasing in volume, but increasing in pleasing aroma to the Lord. Your prayers are never wasted. Do you believe this to be true? Then will you pray? We're not to tell God we believe it, we are to show Him and pray and change our lives and our habits. Now, God remembers our prayers. He also values them. He loves them. He treasures them. They are described as incense in His golden bowls in heaven. Golden bowls, not Tupperware, not B&Q value plastic bucket, a golden bowl. If you had a golden bowl at home, you wouldn't use it to put your waste paper in. Imagine a golden vessel at home. You wouldn't throw rubbish in it. You wouldn't use it to put your used tea bags in. You wouldn't use it for eating cornflakes out of. If you had a golden bowl in your house, I dare say it would be reserved for your most treasured possession. Imagine, if you had a golden vessel in your house, it's going to be for your most treasured thing you own. And the Lord treasures our prayers. He loves to hear his children pray. Like a father stooping and cupping his ear to hear one of his bairns whisper something to him and smiling. Because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. The Lord hears and the Lord remembers. Thirdly, don't give up praying. In Luke 18, Jesus was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. Or if you have an NIV, never give up. Saying there was a certain city, there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. And there was a widow in that city. And she kept coming to him saying, "Give me legal protection from my opponent." And for a while he was unwilling, but afterwards he said to himself, "Even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection, lest by her continual coming she wear me out." And the Lord said, "Hear what the unrighteous judge says. Now shall God not bring about justice for his elect, who cry out to him day and night? And he will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them speedily. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" When the Lord comes, will he find faith? Will he find us still a praying people? Or will we have given up? Is there any incense in your bowl up there? If we each had an individual bowl with our name on, how full would your bowl be? Jesus taught that parable in Luke 18 in order that we might always pray and never give up. So when should I give up? Never. An old friend of mine called Ian, he's a vicar in the Church of England. An old man was saved at his church a while back. His wife had been praying for him to be saved every day for 20 years. Every day for 20 years. I guess the bowl of incense was finally full. A fellow I knew in London grew up in the Second World War. Everyone in his family, his extended family, was a Christian, apart from one uncle, his mother's brother. His mother prayed for her brother continually. The brother moved to Australia and joined up to fight in the Second World War in the Australian Army. And after the war, they lost contact with him. And it was assumed that perhaps he'd been killed in action and was missing. But the mother kept praying for him. Others had given up, lost hope. But she still prayed for him faithfully. Eventually, the mother died. After she died, they had a call from Australia. The brother that Mum had prayed for all those years had just become a Christian and was desperate to get back in touch with the family. I guess the incense bowl was finally full. An old friend of mine, Paul, from my hometown, he prayed for his mum, who was a widow, for decades, that she might come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But she was a difficult woman. She didn't like her son preaching at her. She didn't like it when Paul spoke about Jesus. So Paul eventually pretty much stopped trying to talk to her and just committed to pray for her. And yet he saw no answers to his prayers. After a while his mother died. She was an elderly woman. And when Paul and his wife were clearing out her flat, they found some literature from an Alpha course she had been on with the Salvation Army on the corner of her street. She had given her life to Christ before she died. I guess the incense bowl was finally full. Now, I come from a fairly large family, and all of us are Christian believers, apart from one sister, who by and large has turned her back on the Lord years ago. I've been praying for her for decades. I've brought my four children up to pray for her as part of their daily devotions. I've wept praying for her. Every tear could turn a mill. Perhaps I should face up to the fact that it's a lost cause and now give up. Or does there just need to be one or two more drops before there's a glorious outpouring of God's grace on my sister? I keep lists of people to pray. It's a very good habit. Some of the churches here, I noticed, produce lists of people to pray for. It's a wonderful thing to do because I forget. I have a poor memory and a good forgettery, as they say. But I learned this from my lad. I used to run summer camps for teenagers, or help run summer camps for teenagers. And one of the things we try and do, if you're a dormitory leader and you're in charge of a group of lads, is try and get alongside each one of them at some point during the week of the camp and just encourage them to trust in Christ. Encourage them to be reading their Bibles every day. Encourage them to be setting some time aside to pray. And this one wee lad, Daniel, he evidently was trusting in Christ. And I said, "That's great, Daniel. Are you reading your Bible?" "Yes, I'm reading my Bible. I've got some Bible notes." "And Daniel, are you making time to pray every day?" And he pulled a wee piece of paper out of his Bible, divided up into seven, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. He says, "Ken, on Monday, I pray for all the boys at school who are being bullied. On Tuesday, I pray for all the bullies. On Wednesday, I pray for all the teachers." And my jaw dropped, and I thought, I need one of those. I need a prayer list. And it's a wonderful thing to remind you to be praying for folks that you might otherwise forget to pray for. The only time I've crossed anyone off the list is when they die. If I'm praying for someone to be saved and they come to faith in Christ, I want to keep praying for them. God never told me to stop praying for anyone. I guess he could, but I've not heard him say that yet. But if someone has died, their deal is done. And there is no Bible mandate for praying for the dead, whatever. As I read my Bible, it seems more likely the dead would pray for us. I don't know if you've ever noticed any verses like that. I read Revelation 6, where there's a scene of the departed saints, those who have been martyred for their faith in Christ, their departed souls, crying out to the Lord about what's happening on earth. Seems to suggest the departed saints can see what's happening on earth and are still able to cry out to God about what's happening on earth. Hebrews 12 says we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, the departed saints. We don't know much about that at all. perhaps it wouldn't be helpful to speculate. I think about my own parents. They tried to bring me up Christian when I was a wee boy, and I think they had quite a job to start with. I'm sure they prayed for me plenty. When they got old, they got ill, and I prayed for them plenty. And they died, and they've gone to be with the Lord. I wonder, do they cry out to God? Lord, help Ken. Look at him. Help him, please. I don't know. But there's certainly no mandate for us to pray for the dead. Never give up praying. Get yourself a prayer partner, someone who will pray with you, or a couple of friends, three of you praying together. Pray for the nation. Pray for the world. Pray for the church. Pray for the news headlines. Pray for revival. And don't stop. Keep on praying and keep on keeping on. And when the time comes for those almighty golden bowls to be poured out, may they be found full to the brim. And may they wash over us. May they wash over our land like a tsunami. Never give up praying. Winston Churchill, many of you will have heard this story in a sermon, I'm sure. Winston Churchill, when he was asked to speak at his old public school, gave a very short speech. As I understand it, he struggled at school as a student when he was there with many complexes, including a speech impediment. They invited him back to give a speech when he was famous. And he just stood up and said this: never give up. Never, never give up. Never, never, never give up. And then he sat back down. If you're a Christian, if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've come to a saving faith in him, ask yourself this tonight. Who prayed for you before you came to faith? Were you saved as a wee child? Are you from a Christian family with praying parents, praying grandparents? Did a friend bring you? I bet you if a friend brought you, they were praying for you. Who prayed for you? Who was it that prayed for you? Then ask yourself this: who are you praying for now? Who could you be praying for? Who has the Lord put across your path that you could be praying for? How full is that bowl up there? The Lord loves the pleasant aroma of the incense of our prayers rising up to heaven. The Lord hears our prayers. Graciously, sometimes those answers are instant. Mercifully, every prayer is heard and saved for the perfect time. Do you care for the lost? Because God does. Ask him to put that on your heart and to transform your prayer life. St. Andrew's Day tomorrow. We don't know a whole lot about St. Andrew from the scriptures, other than he brought others to Jesus. He brought his brother, Simon Peter, to Jesus. Him and Philip brought the Greeks to Jesus. Will you be an Andrew? Most of bringing people to Jesus isn't going out in the street and grabbing them. It's on your knees when you're on your own with the Lord. Corrie ten Boom asked, is prayer your spare wheel or your steering wheel? Does prayer steer your entire life, the course of your life, steered by prayer? Or is it just a spare wheel you keep in the back in case of emergencies? You get to the boot and open it up and it's either not there or it's perished or it's flat, or you've just got a tube of stuff on some of these new cars instead. Is prayer your steering wheel or your spare wheel? Specifically now, just as we draw to a close, if you have lost heart, if you have given up praying for something particular or for someone, will you now repent and start again? Will you start to see prayer from heaven's perspective and love and value the privilege of prayer and pray? He's all ears. He's listening. It's not that we say a prayer and then go and do the work. Prayer is the work. The rest is just gathering in the work done in prayer. People say you can do more than pray. You can do more than pray, but only when you have prayed. Perhaps your congregation has a prayer meeting. You go to it? Would you? Will you? Go to it. If not, start one. If you're in the high school, there's a prayer meeting on a Wednesday at break time. You can ask Dave about the details. Will you go and pray with others who love the Lord Jesus Christ? Go to it. Pray. Perhaps like Homer Simpson, you really struggle to fit in 8 hours of TV every day into your busy life. Switch off the goggle box just once in a while and prioritize some time to pray. Prayer is a wonderful thing. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Amen.